step. There are tears on my pillow that won't dry on their own. Beyond my ears, I've no sorrow, but today I don't walk alone.
All right. Welcome to the Fort Lauderdale Primary Purpose Big Book Study Group's Thursday night Alcoholics and God Speaker Step Series. We're going to have Spencer come up and do a joke.
Hey, I'm Spencer, alcoholic joke teller. And I got a new one from Drunk as a Skunk, 150 plus jokes for beer lovers, wine connoisseurs, and raging alcoholics. So I guess that applies. But it is Thursday, so if you need to use the restroom, no need to go anywhere, but right there. All right. So every morning after I come home from a bender, me and my wife always have the same dialogue. I ask her, why am I hungover? She asks the same questions every time. Did you drink water? Yes, of course. From a glass? Yes. Was it frozen? Yes. Was it surrounded by whiskey? It's like you know me.
All right. All right, keep coming back. Thanks for joining us tonight. My name is Ryan. I'm an alcoholic. In a minute, we're going to start our two-minute meditation, so please take a moment to get situated. Please turn off all devices that make noise or that will distract others. Take this time to get connected to God, let the craziness of the day drift away, and ask God to help you stay focused on the step study tonight. If everybody's ready, we're going to start the meditation.
Yeah.
right, we're going to do the fog light prayer. If you don't know it, it's up on the screen here. You can follow along. God, let your love shine through me like a fog light, so those who are lost, sick, and dying can find your love through me. Amen. There's a solution from the Big Book, page 17. The tremendous fact for every one of us is we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news that this book carries for those who suffer from alcoholism. I've asked Callie to read Appendix 2, Spiritual Experience. We read this because the main purpose of the 12 steps is to have one, so it's kind of important to know what one is. So let's welcome up Callie.
Hi, I'm an alcoholic. My name's Callie. The spiritual experience. The terms spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which upon careful reading shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experience must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource, which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than ourselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is called the essence of spiritual experience. Our most religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. Herbert Spencer, Alcoholics Anonymous.
Please refrain from disturbing others by talking or constantly getting up and sitting back down. This is a tech-free meeting, so set your phones to airplane or meeting mode or just turn them off. And tonight we've got Marion coming up for week 5 of the 6-week series. Every week has been amazing. I leave here and I feel like she's speaking to me every week. So let's bring up Marion. I'm excited to hear what she has to say.
Hi, everyone. I'm Marion. I'm alcoholic.
Amen.
It's great to be here tonight and see some new faces, some familiar faces, and people I've trudged this journey with in all my years of being in Florida, you know, and becoming a part of a fellowship down here in the last 12 years and really just jumping in and finding like-minded folks and folks that want this thing called recovery, this thing called living in the sunlight of the spirit, this thing called living in that rocketed in the fourth dimension, which I think the fourth dimension can be messy too sometimes. You know, I was thinking about this earlier, like the task tonight is 10 and 11 and this is a place I live. And I feel like, I mean, fresh as today, you know, fresh as today, 10. How does that show up in my life? Fresh as today, how does 11 show up in my life? My sobriety date is November 11th, 1989. And I have a sponsor and I have some sponsees and grand sponsees here. And this is my home group. So I was thinking about 10 and I was thinking about, man, this is a step I think I wear it out. You know, if you've been on this journey as long as I have or a little longer, or maybe you're, you know, I'm an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. If you're an alcoholic of the hopeless variety and you're on this road of recovery, 10 is probably getting a little, some holes and some punches in it, you know, like, cause the reality of this deal is, and it's time and time and time again, you know, we step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. And you know, this stuff of seemingly without provocation, how others can, you know, the times I'm trying to play God, the times I think I know what's better for you, the times that I'm in 100 forms of fear, the times I'm selfish, the times I'm dishonest, the times I'm... those times and all that can be encapsulated in one word, and that's called, well, two words. One is that I'm alcoholic, and without help, without this, you know, this is a design for living that is about overcoming the spiritual malady. And when we overcome there, it says when we straighten out spiritually, we begin to straighten out physically and emotionally. It doesn't say, you know, gonna say some, oh boy, here we go, tiny bit controversial. There's people out there that talk about this being a twofold illness. And to me, if that spiritual malady isn't overcome, I'm screwed with the rest of it. Because I don't stand here before you with 34 years of recovery. I mean, I can say that loud and proud, you know, because I know that I've done nothing to deserve it or to earn it or done this life of, I mean, the goal is to be a woman of grace and dignity, to hold my head up high, to, you know, to live in that place, to live in that place. But to continue to live in that place, it means a constant checking in, turning in to go out, looking within and what is troubling me and what is bothering me. And every single time, the finger points back to me. Hopefully it doesn't for you at me. You know, please, you know, whatever. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, if you're an alcoholic like me, you know, this world is going to disturb you. There are people that are going to disturb it. There are situations that are going to disturb us. And we can, I could take a kind, and it says, our book says, to take a kind, who does this? Take a kind and tolerant look at ourselves. I mean, easy does it, Marion. Easy does it, but do it. Because my place to go every time is, wow, you really screwed this up. Or why did you even think that? Or why did you even feel that? Why are you, you know, questioning myself, like, why do you feel that way? Why are you afraid? Why are you insecure? Why are you jealous? Or why are you envious? Or why are you no, the deal is this, when I'm an alcoholic of the hopeless of variety, these things are going to come up in our life. And when it says to not drift into morbid reflection or worry, when it says, take a kind and tolerant look at ourselves, that's one of the hardest things for me to do. I will apologize 1,000 times when I do something wrong. I will, because I don't like the effect produced by, I'm going to just say, the flesh. The flesh, the alcoholism, the untreated moment, the, you know, hey, guess what? You know, we walk around with this stuff where you affect my security, my self-esteem, my pocketbook, my, you know, it goes on and on, right? You affect those areas of my life. And when I react out of the flesh, when you, and I'm not saying you, please, but when we're in this together, okay, this isn't just me, you, it's us. Okay. I don't have alcoholism. I have alcoholism. And when I see these things crop up, when these things, you know, I had a text message earlier today and it, boom, it hit me. And I'm driving and I've got places to go and it's hit me and I'm, you know, I got to get home and I got time for a phone call. I make a phone call and then I get home to my husband and what was affecting me, it was so funny because it's like, hey, honey, look at this. And he's like, okay, you know, but this is, and this is the deal with 10 and 11, right? This is a made us in our fourth step, we're making a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves, right? In four, that's what we're doing. Searching and fearless moral inventory. And now we're continuing to take personal inventory. This is personal. It's not saying continue to take Paulette's inventory. It's not saying that. It's saying, what am I doing? What am I bringing into this world? What am I bringing into my life today? You know, this little thing disturbed me, go into inventory, and I got quiet. And, you know, this whole place of wasn't feeling really great. I had some stuff going on. And, you know, and it and I have an assignment tonight to be here. So if I'm coming out of being a little disturbed, I'm looking at where I'm fearful, selfish, resentful, or, you know, all those things, and I'm looking at that, then I need to take, it's kind of like I talked about this last week, you know, we're wounded warriors. If I'm wounded and I'm hurting and I can look at where I'm afraid. Wow, that hurts my self-esteem. You know, this, I'm selfish. I want this person to be like this to make me okay, you know? But until I come out of that, sometimes we need to get quiet. We need, because guess what? If Marion, with a little offense, God forbid I ran around all day long today and that thing festered, got a responsibility to come here, by God, I better be living that 10 and 11. Otherwise, I need not be up here. Well, whatever. I mean, I would do it up here messy anyway, and I'd tell you what the inventory was. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, for the first time in my entire life, when I was 30 years old, and I could look in the mirror at Marion and be okay, you guys gave me a life beyond my wildest dreams. And it has nothing to do with anything outside. It's everything that happened on the inside. You reached out your hand. You said, welcome and come on in, you know. And I'd never felt that in my entire life. And I'm telling you, I think it's one of the hardest axioms to overcome. For me, it is. I just tell you this. You know, that battle of the flesh and the self-esteem, I don't even know what, you know what I mean? Being okay with being able to look ourselves in the eye and to continue to do that. I tell my sponsees all the time, there is no right way to do a wrong thing. And there's just not. And we try to figure out cute little ways to do it. Well, you know, I'll pay the IRS when I really get that big check, or I will, you know, and my heart's intention is to do that. You know, no. I need to put the grocery cart back. I need to apologize when I'm wrong. Because, you know, some women will say it. There's that little girl inside of me that I gotta take care of her. And I believe in that too. There was a show called Ted Lasso and there was this woman on there, Rebecca, and I loved her. She's this beautiful 6 foot something British woman. And she's going into this meeting with this whole room full of men and she's got to bring it. And she looks in the mirror and it shows this reflection of her as a little girl. And she stands back and she looks at herself and she goes, I got to be bigger than that. And she just bends down and goes, rah! You know? And I believe in that stuff. Like, in the fact, that doesn't mean I got to be something or make a name for myself or any of that stuff. What it means is, if I'm here to play the role God's assigned me to play, if I'm here to clean up my scrapes as I go, to clean up my messes and be able to look myself in the eye and say, you did a pretty good job today. You messed up, but you made up. Not made up, but you know what I'm saying? You righted your wrongs. You made your amends. You moved on. Because this is personal. It's personal. Because I have to, we have to, or maybe we don't have to. Depends on who you are. I know that for me, this stuff, this connection to God is so vital. So vital. And I don't get to go, you know, stay up all, well, I'm going to just name a thing, stay up at the casino all night long and gamble on the phone and then freaking, you know, cut somebody off on the freeway and flip them the finger and go to bed at night and go, thank you, God, that you love me so much. I don't get to do that. I don't get to live that way. I don't, and here really what it is when we've entered the world of the Spirit, you guys know the knower, the inside, the place. We know it. When you walk that, when we get to walk this road, we know when it's right and we know when it's wrong. And this always, you know, the goals of the four absolutes, right? And as I was just thinking of, you know, honesty, unselfishness, love and purity. And it's like, when I first looked at that kind of stuff in early recovery, it's like, oh, great. I'm going to be wearing a robe and handing out pamphlets at the airport, you know? Great. You know, I'm going to be one of those glowy girls that everybody's just going to think, oh, wow, look at her, you know, whatever. And that just repulsed me. You know what I mean? Because here's the deal, you know, we're to be God's hands and feet. We're to be those people that the lost, sick and dying, the girl with 51 days here today. I can't remember where she is. But you know what I mean? I want to be an example to, because of, you know, this weekend is Founders Day, June 10th, last night. And I'm at a meeting in Boca and we're reading about Dr. Bob, you know, the reasons he did it, that sense of duty to those people that passed it on for us, you know, because it's a pleasure. In so doing, I'm ensuring my own sobriety. And this is what we're doing, is we're keeping this contact with God is, and God's not up there going, yeah, I know. I'm glad you sent me this inventory because you really screwed up this time. You know, God's not a scorekeeper or anything like that. In fact, he knows it all while I'm doing it. He knows it all. So, or she, or whatevs. Whatevs. Open this up. What is this? Do, do, do. Sorry, hold on a second. I have a thing. Okay, this thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take, what? Personal inventory, and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. Does that mean maybe you'll make a mistake? New mistakes as we go along. We're going to make mistakes. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. Holy cow, we've entered the world of the Spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. Now, when I'm blocked, growing in understanding and effectiveness, right? Okay, I understand why. Understanding, that's a pretty cool word, right? Because when I look at something that's offended me and I can understand why it's offended me in my personal inventory, when I can find myself in this book and when I can find myself in these steps, it's always glorious. Because when I'm looking at you or I'm looking at for that situation to change, I can never, ever, ever get free. And every time it goes back to an inventory, it goes back to alcoholism. It's like, yes, yes, I'm the problem. It becomes a thing that you can celebrate that you're the problem, right? Because if you're the problem, you can get the solution. Because it's between you and God anyway. It's between you and your sponsor. It's between whoever that, you know, immediately is. Turning to someone immediately, you know, corrective measures, right? And it says this is not an overnight matter. We should continue for a lifetime. Continue to watch. This is what we watch in 10. Selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. Boy, those were all boom, 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 and boom for me today in one text message. How do people do that, right? When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. God, please remove this selfishness. Please remove this dishonesty. Please remove this resentment, and please remove this fear. But I know it doesn't mean all of a sudden God goes, oh, yay, Marian. Ding, 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 here's the dust and you're good. It doesn't mean that that happens, but I'm willing and I understand that those areas of my life were affected, but I do turn in and I do say, wow, that hurt. And I am able to, doesn't fix it. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it can go away like that. Sometimes it's like that. And sometimes it just kind of hurts, you know? Sometimes it just kind of hurts, but that's okay. At least I've said the prayer, you know? When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we've harmed anyone. Thank God for pausing. Thank God for not dialing. Thank God for not texting back. Thank God. I mean, pause is one of the most spiritual words in the English language, and for us especially, right? Oh. When we then, and this is the part that I can tend to forget, when that comes, is then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. And that's a part where it's like, oh, okay, that hurt me. That hurt. No, I'm just going to go lay down now. That hurt. No, who can I call? Who can I call? Who can I help? Happened to be my sister today, you know, and that was cool, you know, and someone I can help. By the way, this is just an opinion, but sometimes someone I can help can be like, check on your mom, check on your dog. I mean, whatever it is, it doesn't just have to be in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. It doesn't have to be a sponsee, doesn't have to be another alcohol. It could be anybody. Check on somebody. I mean, I just made up that rule right now because I spent a lot of time on the phone with my sister. You know, I just made that up. That's an opinion. But I was able to help her. Someone I could help. I helped her today. I know I helped her. And that feels good. Why does it feel so good? Because I'm not thinking about me. Holy mackerel. You know, I might not be much, but I'm all I ever think about. This old guy used to say at the Northwest group, may not be much, but I'm all I ever think about. You know, thinking too little of myself or thinking grandiose of myself. I'm thinking of me, poor me, what? Another drink, right? And those drinks can show up in forms of our alcoholism. Doesn't mean just a drink of fear, a drink of resentment, a drink of all that stuff in this, because this is the walk. This is the walk of emotional sobriety. How am I doing? Not, hey, you know, I practiced my prayer and meditation this morning. I had a good practice this morning. I had a beautiful morning outside. And part of that was, and I'll go into that in 11 if I don't run out of time. You know, I water the flowers and I love watering. I do the front yard. Peter does the backyard. And I water and I talk to him. I say, doesn't that just taste good? And I see the butterflies and I see the birds and it's just, you know, anybody who knows me, great outdoors, love it. God. And then you just notice a butterfly and you notice a bird because you're open, right? Beautiful morning. And then bam, you know, then bam, because life's in session. My sponsor says life is in session. And this moment, and I didn't feel great, right? And so, and I think that kind of throws us sometimes too. You know, I had this friend is like, you know, when you have your health, you have everything. This old guy, Jack, he was a carpet layer. He'd sit against the wall at the Northwest Group and every single share, he'd be like, when you got your health, you got everything. And I'd be, you know, I'm 30 years old. I ain't got time for this. You know, what is he talking about? You know, but when, you know, we kind of, if our back hurts or we're not feeling great, we're not firing on all cylinders, rest. Take care of yourself. You know, I have this really great friend, Bridget, who will remind me, when's the last time you were at the dentist? When's the last time you took a nap? When's the last time you know, that's part of our care too, that, you know, that stuff, but that's a whole nother issue. Okay. Here's the 10th step promises, and this is what I love. And I am going to throw out my husband's opinion on this because I love it because it's totally true. But if I'm a newcomer, these promises of step 10 sound really, really good to me. Really good. Brand new. You're here. And we've ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. For by this time, sanity will have returned. Holy cow, we're sane. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it like a hot flame. Yes. Isn't that cool? We react sanely and normally. We'll find this has happened automatically. We'll see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given to us without any thought or effort on our part. Do you guys remember the first time you ever knew that it was just gone? You know, Joe and Charlie talk about that. I don't know where in the steps that obsession or, you know, just like one day, I think I was listening to a Joe and Charlie thing and Joe got up one morning and it was like, I haven't thought about drinking. I haven't even thought about it. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. If you're brand new and you're struggling, think about that. Like you want that? It's possible for you. There's probably quite a few people who live that today. Raise your hand. Who lives in that place today? Okay, even if that was all we got out of this... Even if that was all I ever got out of Alcoholics Anonymous from this day forward, that I don't think about drinking, I don't know. I was an alcoholic tortured by this thing. And I don't think about it. What? I would step over my children, bosses, family, everybody. Give me the drink. The drink goes in and you guys can just screw off because that you don't even matter. Hey, how cool if that was all that was, right? But no, but guess what? No. Yeah, I guess it's cool that that happens and yay us. But who am I reaching out to and who am I helping to get them to that place? I know a few of those girls in this room right here. Holy smokeroni, man. And one over there too. Yes. I mean, you know, if God got you sober in a church, maybe that's where you're supposed to help. But if God got you sober in Alcoholics Anonymous, pull in that drunk. Pull in that drunk and help that drunk. Because you have the language of the heart that that person needs. How could you cease fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol? I'm not fighting it. Every time I drank, it was battle. Until the place came where the courage to do battle wasn't there. I remember the last night I was battling to drink. I drank the 30th birthday. I drank it at Denny's in the morning. I went out that night and I swear, I mean, I had a badly matted hair. And it was, I had an 80s perm, and it was champagne blonde colored, and I had a leopard print shirt on. I know you can really see me like that, right? And I was so sick. I remember just drinking and drinking and drinking and just, oh. And somewhere in between that night and the next morning, that's when God's grace came crashing into my life. What? How did that happen? Wasn't planning on, well, this booze isn't getting me drunk. I'm miserable. I think I'll get sober tomorrow. Wasn't on my agenda. Okay. It's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We're headed for trouble if we do. Headed for trouble. Sobriety. I've got 5 years now. I've got the wife. I got the kids. I got the babies. I got the swing set. I'm on PTA, and I've got my college career going. Rest on our laurels. And I have seen that a few times. How's that working out? Everything that all the work we do in Alcoholics Anonymous all of a sudden becomes secondary to this beautiful life that God has given us. This beautiful, you don't have a wife and kid. Sorry, now I'm going to be a little brat. But, you know, you don't have the wife and kids and the house and the car and the pocketbook and all that stuff because you're so great. You know, I'm sorry. Those are gifts and they're beautiful. Teach somebody else how to do it. Don't walk away from us. Don't walk away from us. I've just seen that happen. Second stage recovery, they call it, you know, where you get all, you know, get the job, get the, you know, you get all this stuff. And then, well, I got to go to a PTA meeting tonight, so I can't go to an A meeting, you know, or I got to do this, I got to do that, or whatever. Please, please keep this as your priority. There's my soapbox. Okay. We're not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day. I love this so much. Every day is a day we must carry the vision of God's will into all our activities. The vision of God's will. Well, okay, I don't know. I can't see the vision of God's will in my life, but I'm going to strive towards that. And I'm going to try to walk that out. And I mess it up. We do. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It's the proper use of the will. So I'm going to align my will with God's will. That's my job. That's my job. And I don't know what that all looks like and feels like, but I kind of do. Right? Am I looking at this stuff? And am I being honest? Am I being unselfish? Am I being loving? Am I, you know, are my intentions pure? And that was kind of one of these things that bothered me today. I felt like someone's intention wasn't pure towards me. And I just mean it in like, it was just a thing. It wasn't like, you know, like yucky impurity, but kind of a selfish thing. And it bothered me. So here's my 11th step. So when we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have I kept something to myself which could have been discussed with another person? Were we kind and loving towards all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Or were we thinking of what we could do for others? Or what we could do to pack into the stream of life. What we could do to pack into the stream of life is a pretty big line. Do you guys know what a stream looks like? It's just a trickly little thing, and it's just sweet, and it meanders, and it goes, right? We alcoholics have to try to pack into the stream of life. It takes all these, you know, these spiritual tools that are laid on our at our feet, right, to be able to pack into that stream of life, and then we can, but we have to try to pack in. You know, some people are just going down the little stream of life, and things are pretty lovely. For us, we have to try to pack in. So I'm going to go over this real quick, and because I just love it so much, and it reminds me of Founders Day. I have a really good friend, Melissa, who lives in Akron, and my husband and I were up in, we were up there for a workshop, and we're in the truck, and we're driving. Her husband's driving, and she says, "Well, I didn't get to do my prayer and meditation. Can we do some in the car?" And I opened up my big book and turned to On Awakening. And you know, she was like 11 years sober at the time. And I'm super 29 years sober at the time. You know, a little miss something, I guess, you know. And she broke this On Awakening down for me in a way that I'd never heard it. Because from the beginning of my sobriety, I used this. I had three kids running around. I did On Awakening in the bathroom with the door locked on the toilet. You know what I mean? Read On Awakening. Get On Awakening. Come on now. We got to go make waffles. You know, On Awakening. And anyway, I just really, really love this. And it says this, On Awakening. So Bill gives us a, so beautiful. He gives us a consideration, and then it turns into a prayer, and then it turns into a promise. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day before we begin. And any time where it says we ask, that's a prayer. We ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motive. Do you guys want to be divorced from self-pity? Yes. Dishonesty? Yes. Self-seeking motives? Yes. Me too. Okay, listen to what it says happens. Under these conditions, so we just did a prayer, right? Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance. For after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. Wow. Dear Lord, I need to be cleared of thinking of wrong motives. Here he gives us a consideration again. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought or decision. We ask God for that. Guess what happens? We relax and take it easy. Us? We don't struggle. What? We're often surprised how the right answers come after we've tried this for a while. How cool is that? Okay. When what used to be the hunch and the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. A gradual working part of the mind. Being still and experienced, and I've done, who hasn't? Being still and experienced, and having just made, this is kind of a little, warning, right? Being still and experienced, and having just made conscious contact with God, it's not probable that we're going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon it. I'm going to go down here as we go through the day, because what it does before that is a how to pray, my God box. Oh, I got to read that. So we usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially Yeah, of course I needed to read this. What was I thinking? We ask especially for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no requests for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. My opinion is ask for yourself too. Because when we're out of the way, and I don't mean like, oh, can you give me a Rolls Royce tonight? You know, not like that kind of prayer, but God, please keep me out of the way. Please let me not mess this thing up. You know, that kind of thing, because others will be helped. Others will be helped if I'm out of the way, okay? We're careful to never pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why. Okay, so then in the next paragraph, it just goes into who should we enter into prayer with? Who should we do that with? So at the end, it goes, as we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful. Very big, guys. We pause when agitated or doubtful and pray for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, thy will be done. We are then, what? In much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more efficient. We don't tire as easily, for we're not, we do not tire as easy, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. I don't know about you, but when I'm trying to arrange life to suit myself, I get real tired. I get real tired. So I kind of explained to you how that works. You know, I'm a big believer that God brings us to AA and AA brings us to God. And, you know, deep down, I'm absolutely firm, rock solid that deep down inside each and every person is a fundamental idea of God, deep down inside of every single one of us. And it's about us uncovering and finding that place of grace for ourselves, finding that place that prayer, meditation that works for us. And what I've done at the beginning and what I do today can be so is different. You know, it's different. I've always kind of gone to church. Always. It's been everything from Baptist to Pentecostal to now I'm a Catholic, you know, but I love Buddhism and I love, you know, I love so many, I mean, and our own walk is our own walk. I have a dedication that I do that I love. And I'm going to say it out loud to the Blessed Mother. And I love her. She's a cool gal, you know, and sometimes I can hurry in. And just today, you know, I was outside my favorite, you know, and I'm praying to her and noticing some things. And I mean, just for me, it's a coming home, you know, it's a coming home to a place where, that brings comfort to me. It brings protection to me. I feel I can offer all that up and it's a dedication. It's a dedication and it's a bit of a ritual. But I'm taking that time. I'm kind of a brat where I can drive to Boca to go to CrossFit and I'm like, oh, I got 20 minutes. I can pray rosary on the road and I'll make an excuse for it that, oh, the prayer's going everywhere I go from Fort Lauderdale to Boca, you know, everybody's getting it. If I roll the window down, you know, and I mean, it's just kind of wacky and crazy. And guess what? You know, there's times where I've smelled roses. There's times that, you know, I don't get any. And she's not like saying, hey, Maren, how's it going? You know, it's none of that. But it's a practice. And if ever a moment that shows up where it's like, wow, I feel you, God. Or, you know, it isn't about what I feel. It isn't about what I feel. It isn't about any of that. But when I'm turning my will and my life over to that God of my understanding, yours is yours and mine is mine. And we're free to do that here. This is the only place where you can not believe in God. You can question the thought of God. You can be a Buddhist. You can be a Methodist. You can be a Catholic. You can be all of that. All of it. is all it is welcome. And what's yours? They even, back in the day, little 51-day girl, they used to tell us, make your higher power a doorknob. You know, I mean, that was an old timer line. Crazy. Or, you know, like my first sponsor, you know, you don't have a guy. How about mine? But see, that wasn't the only thing that I needed. When I was in detox and I was laying there the third day and I had this God of my understanding and I had a, you know, God in my heart, I had a very deep spiritual white light, beautiful experience, not white light, but it was maybe green, but you know, it was a light. I had an experience, but see, I couldn't get sober after that. And I was tormented with this God in my heart and like, why don't I get this? Why can't I get sober? And it wasn't until I'm laying the detox, I'm the third day and I'm laying there and the third day I'm laying there and I knew I'd overreacted and it was time to go home. It was like, thank you so much. Treatment's really great, but I'm going to go home now. Thank you guys. But what happened was two drunks came in the room. One was a therapist and one was a nurse. And the therapist didn't come as a therapist and the nurse didn't come as a nurse. They came as two drunks and sat at the end of the bed. What we do for fun and for free, right? What we do, the language of the heart, they didn't point down at me and go, Marion, you screwed this up again. Why aren't you ever going to get your crap together? What's wrong with you? No, they said, they giggled and they laughed and I don't know what they said. I couldn't tell you one word they said. But for the first time in my life, I was like, me too. You really? You're kidding. You're like me. And I believe with my whole heart, soul, mind, and strength that that power of God and that power of Alcoholics Anonymous met me in that room that day because I've never had a drink since. And I've walked hand in hand with God, sometimes messy, sometimes crazy, sometimes want to just curl up in a ball and cry my eyes out and it sucks and I'm afraid and it's all that stuff, but it's worth it every step of the way. So, okay, I think I'm done. Thanks.
All right, let's thank Marion again. Now we're going to have Brandon come up and do our secretary's report.
Hi, my name is Brandon, and I'm your recovered alcoholic secretary.
Hi, Brandon.
In keeping with the seventh tradition, which states that every group should be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions, the baskets are now going around. We also have QR codes on the chair masks. I've asked Mary Ellen to read the recovered statement. We read this notice to explain why many people in AA identify as recovered rather than recovering and what it exactly means to be recovered alcoholic.
Recovered. We are not cured of alcoholism. Recovered but not cured. That presents a conflict to some alcoholics. If we were cured, we would be able to drink responsibly. No, we are not cured. The allergic reaction to alcohol will remain with us for our lifetime. But we have been restored to sanity. That was the problem. The main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than in his body. We are now sane where alcohol is concerned. Consequently, we have recovered.
Thank you. 1940-style Big Book sponsorship from the forward to the second edition. Alcoholics Anonymous of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried. 50% got sober at once and remained that way. 25% sobered up after some relapses, and among the remainder, those who stayed on with AA showed improvement. What we've seen, felt, came to believe, and experienced is that God has not changed over time, and neither should the sacred approach back to his loving arms. The statistics above suggest a 75% success rate. Is anyone needing a sponsor? No. Can the recovered alcoholics raise their hand? All right, and if you were too shy, you can hang out by the piano back there and somebody will help you. All right. And then screen announcements. Intergroup is where you can buy your AA-related literature and medallions. Intergroup is also responsible for creating our Where and When and scheduling the AA hotline. Stop by and visit them. Broward County Institutions Committee is responsible for bringing meetings into places where people like us can't get to an outside meeting, such as jails, detoxes, and rehabs. They meet monthly to organize the meeting schedules at the 12-step house. Do we have any members here tonight? All right. If you have any questions, you can ask Ms. Kelly. She's raising her hand, and the guy behind her as well. All right, next. And some upcoming service opportunities. Founders Day picnic is going to be Sunday, June 9th from 11 to 4 at Schneider Park. Some co-facilitators, Peter M., JB, and Mike Chase for our Big Book workshop in this very room at 7:15 on Mondays. More? Okay. And then we have Peter M. after one more week of Miss Marion. Awesome. All right. And next week is going to be Marion's final week. And of course, here's our home groups, Monday nights. Big Book Study Workshop, where the Big Book comes alive. Join us for fellowship at 6:30, and the workshop starts at 7:15. We have CDs, mugs, large print Big Books, and the Little Red Book and Big Book Dictionaries for sale. We meet here every Thursday starting promptly at 7:15 and ask that you be courteous and ready to begin at the sound of the bell. See you next week.
All righty. We have tonight's session and all past speaker podcasts at alcoholicsandgod.org. I'd like to invite everybody again to our Monday night Big Book study. Those who wish to thank Marion, please just line up down the center aisle. And we're all going to close with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. See you next week.
Heart is heavy, soul is thirsty, body's aching. Desperately in need of restoration, yeah, and I am ready for you to take me higher, yeah. The only thing that I can do is keep on praying. These possessions that I have amount to nothing at all. Can't get it right. It doesn't matter.
just can't get it right. It doesn't matter how hard I try, but with you I become a much stronger man. Getting on my knees puts me back on my feet again. On my own, I just can't get it right. It doesn't matter how hard I try, but with you I become a much stronger man.
When you laughing, bah, 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 when you laughing, yes, the sun comes shining through. But when you crying, the rain, so stop your sighing, baby, and be happy again. Yes, and keep on smiling. Keep on smiling, baby, and I hope. Thank you.
Chase, here's that song you've been asking me for a million years. I finally pulled it out the corners of my mind, and here you go. going on 10 years old, that song is. God bless. I love you, Mike Chase. Bye.
I think you know this one, don't you?
shining.